You guys are not doing any pass blocking. You're just stepping aside and letting them walk in.
Pop, 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 pop. That's what I want. All of you around that ball.
What's wrong with y'all? Y'all play like some little girls. Y'all like y'all never played football before. These guys are nothing.
You hear me?
They bleed just like we do.
Yes, sir.
They sweat just like we do.
Do you hear me?
They went through 2 days. We went through 2 days in 110 degree heat.
Yes, sir.
I want you to hit everything to move. If the ref gets in your way, you hit him.
Okay, then. Let's play.
But that's eating us, too. They're against us, too. This is our team. This is us. Let's go right now. Let's get it off now. Let's go.
I am the host, you are the co-host, 806-855-3712. Texas Tech baseball tonight.
Come on and just enjoy the rain.
More action as well as we go through the weekend. The spring game tomorrow afternoon. More Texas Tech baseball scheduled for Saturday and Sunday as well. If you want to go to the Texas Tech baseball game tonight, just text in tickets and your name. We can hook you up for tonight's game. They're at Dan Law Field, a.k.a. The Rip, apparently, as we heard again today from Tim Tadlock. He said, good morning, sunshine. It's game day. The community coffee ads. I've really enjoyed the community coffee ads, by the way. I've not had community coffee yet. Enjoyed the Joey McGuire community coffee ads on Saturday game days. Gerlich had a couple, I remember, and then Tim Tadlock doing them. Might try some community coffee. No free ads, obviously. They're doing the ads there on the Twitter sphere. Oh, we've got some tickets claimed. Hey, give me your name. And I will let you know where I'll leave them. You'll have to come up to the station and get them after the show. But give me your name, whoever just texted in for the tickets, and we can hook you up. A couple of more pairs left. Just text in tickets. Sorry, I should have specified. Text in tickets and your name so I can leave them for you here at the station. I'll let you know where the station is, too. Texas Tech baseball tonight against the Baylor Bears. The Baylor Bears not very good and not very good on the road for sure. They've been playing about 500 baseball there at home, but have struggled immensely on the road. They have one road victory, and this is a Texas Tech team that's been playing pretty well. Now, Baylor did beat Texas once over the weekend and played really close games with them. It's not like Baylor has been getting blown out day in and day out, but you certainly do feel like Texas Tech has a great opportunity this weekend. Mason Molina, the projected starter tonight, lefty, 3-2 on the year, 4.60 ERA. His last time out at Oklahoma, not his strongest performance. Blake Helton pitching tonight for the Baylor Bears. They have three right-handed starters. Through the weekend, Mason Marriott and Will Rigney for Baylor, Trenton Parrish and TBA for the Red Raiders. And as we've discussed all week, if you can get through the weekend without using Brendan Gurton might not start on Sunday, but he can give you five innings. And that is a much, much better opportunity than having a dead bullpen trying to go out there and win a game, especially if it's for a sweep, but certainly if it's in a rubber match. Texas Tech baseball, 27-12 overall, 6-6 in conference, Baylor 5-10. Have already been swept on the road, though, multiple times. Texas Tech, low in the RPI, but 16th, 15th, 18th, 21st, 19th, and 13th across the rankings here. And it's kind of funny to have top five offense in the country. Top 20 record consensus beyond college baseball writers who have you at 21. Top 15 from two publications, a 16 from D1 Baseball, which everyone pays attention to. You have all of that on your side. And your projected 3 seed and 60th in the RPI, 59th. So in college baseball, if the committee is only going to look at the RPI, do the rankings even matter? Do you even need the rankings? Should you just do away with them? Should you just kill the rankings and move on and say we're only doing RPI? Because if that's what the committee is going to do, not much else matters. You just kind of can see what's going to happen before the season starts. And your schedule is what it is. And if somebody plays poorly or somebody outplays, you might have some variation. But generally, you know what's going to happen about halfway through the season. Elsewhere in college baseball this weekend in the SEC, number 3 Florida, number 6 South Carolina. Vanderbilt, Tennessee, also this weekend. In the Pac, 21st ranked Oregon State, 19th ranked Arizona State. In the Big 12 this weekend, TCU at West Virginia. TCU reeling after this weekend. A non-conference loss of a series to UNC Wilmington. TCU really, really down bad trying to get back in the win column on the road at West Virginia. If you're Texas Tech, you kind of just want West Virginia to win at this point, because that sets you up for a better RPI gain on the road later in the year. Of course, in the moment, it hurts your RPI because it hurts TCU. You've already played them, but I think the future you would like that West Virginia series. Kansas State out of conference this weekend at UC Irvine. Oklahoma State at Kansas. That's going to be a very interesting series. Kansas has been pretty good at home. Oklahoma State up and down on the road. You also have the Red River Rivalry Shootout Showdown there in Austin. They played that neutral site one year in Arlington. Glad it's being played at home ballparks again. Oklahoma at Texas. I guess I should have listed that with the SEC matchups. But that's number 14, Texas versus Oklahoma. Oklahoma losing to U 2 out of 3 last weekend. And then obviously the Baylor-Texas Tech series starting at 6:30 tonight. A great opportunity for Texas Tech and kind of a last-ditch opportunity for Baylor to get back in the mix. I don't think they have any chance to be in the NCAA tournament. But at this point, they're fighting to be in the Big 12 tournament. And if they can get in the Big 12 tournament and win the Big 12 tournament, they'll be playing in the postseason. But it is a long shot, and it starts this weekend for Baylor. If they're going to have a turnaround, they have to win this weekend. So, you know, I hate saying it's a must-win for Baylor at 10-5 in conference and 14-23. Everything's a must-win when you're that bad. But you're going to be playing a desperate Baylor team this weekend, so you can't just coast through. Now, Texas Tech has their own must-win value here. Because if you want to be Big 12 champions, if you want to host, you basically have to win out. You probably have to win out, and if you win out, you still might not host. But this is a team in Baylor who has just not been good. Looking at their conference games they've already played, they did win 2 of 3 from Oklahoma at home in Waco. They lost 11-9, won 10-9, and lost 7-6 against Texas this weekend before winning their first road game of the year against Sam Houston this Tuesday. Elsewhere in the Big 12, a sweep on the road at the hands of Kansas. A sweep on the road at the hands of Oklahoma State. And that was 11-9, 15-8, 13-2. And then they won 2 of 3 against Kansas State again in Waco. So this is a team who has won a few series in Waco, lost a series in Waco, and been swept twice on the road in Big 12 play. 0-6. You would love to get that mark to 0-9 this weekend. This texter finishing off the Raiderland. Most Texas thing I've done all week. Flipped two big throw pillows from USA side to side of the Texas side. Well, there you go. This texter response, tickets. I need your name. I'll text you in a minute. Hey, Rob, happy Friday. Me, personally, it's not a happy Friday for me. No Friday's happy. It's my last work day of the week. I wish I could work all 7 days. We get to see the horrible Ranger City Connect uniforms featuring the Peagle tonight against the Oakland A's. Speaking of mythological creatures, my wife wanted you to know she has a lock of the weekend. She said, over on 7, number of days I'm sleeping on the couch. She's taking chores given to me this weekend at -10.5. Yeah, we'll take the over on both. Or I guess an over on 6.5 days and then an over at 10.5. And that's from Pollo Grande. We have a list of saddest Texas Tech sports moments. This is from a student at Texas Tech for all of these except for the third one. The top five saddest Texas Tech sports moments. This is from Barstool Texas Tech. Number 5, the Matt Wells era. Just the whole era. Sad. Number 4, Kansas football versus, the 2019 loss to Kansas. Number 3, the loss to Oklahoma in 2008. Number 2, the TCU tip drill 2015 and the 2019 national championship game finish. Yeah, I mean, this is obviously, it's not a bad list, but it's obviously somebody probably in college currently. I could think of much more sadder times at Texas Tech in my era. And certainly before my era, there were some heartbreakers as well. Think back to some of the losses at the end of a season to, let's say, Houston. Or some of the baseball heartbreaks where you just could not get over the hump there with Larry Hayes. The bowl loss to USC in the Cotton Bowl. That was pretty sad. Good thing we've all been made sad on a Friday. Thanks for the text, guy. All right, let's take the break. When we come back, more action, more jam-packed, wall-to-wall entertainment, whatever else you want to do. Talking Baylor baseball, talking the spring game. We'll give you some props maybe as well on what might happen tomorrow. Give me the first touchdown scorer of the spring game. Who is going to score first tomorrow? What player gets in the end zone first? It's Rob Bro Show, Talk 103.9 News, Money Sports. Rob Bro Show, Talk 103.9 News, Money, Sports. Got tickets for you. A couple left. If you want to call or text in 806-855-3712, just text tickets in your name. Four left, sorry. Couple of pairs left. They're going fast. A couple of options for you. Texas Tech baseball over the weekend, Texas Tech football over the weekend, the spring game. We did hear there's going to be, let's see, bounce houses, live music, some tailgating, some food trucks. And I believe the food trucks and the live music will probably be on 70th Street. If you went to a Matador soccer game last night, where that block party was down on the south side, you'll probably be able to get out there. Otherwise, gates open at 10, and then you move on and get some action for whatever else you need to do to get going. I do think that there should be some pretty solid attendance at the Texas Tech spring game. And I know it's right before the baseball game. The baseball game announces a sellout. Last year, went to the spring game at noon and then just walked down to the baseball game. This year, you'll have to drive back over. So you might have some light attendance there and then a whole rush of people getting over to the baseball game at 2 o'clock. But hey, baseball games anymore last 3-4 hours. So plenty of time for you to get down there after the spring game. That'll go quick, I think. They're also going to do some awards there in the halftime portion. And I'm going to read these awards. This is something that Texas Tech used to do. Let's see, the team awards return. And this is something that was done from 1961 to 2008. So at the halftime of the spring game, the presentation of the 2022 team awards, they'll have the Pete Coffin Memorial Team MVP. I would guess, you know, Tyler Shuck for his finish, or even like a Tyree Wilson for the first 9 games, certainly. Next, the Del Morgan Memorial Courage Award. I think Bryce Ramirez for his fight after his leg breaking and all the rehab he did. Of course, on the field, you had a lot of guys fulfill that as well. The Donnie Anderson Sportsmanship Award. To me, that feels like Tony Bradford. We'll see what happens, though. The J.T. King Award for Most Improved Player. You think of Dennis Wilburn, who came in and maybe struggled early, but was part of an offensive line group that finished really well, I thought, across the end of the later part of the season. Or maybe even a Kosai Eldridge, who was kind of aimlessly going around Texas Tech until Tim DeRuiter showed up and had a pretty dadgum good season last year. You have the Dare to be Great Award. You have the E.J. Holub Double Tough Award. Lots of toughness going around. That also could be a Bryce Ramirez spot in the toughness he showed after his injury, or a lot of different guys on that defense playing tough, hard-nosed defense last year offensively. You have some tough running, some toughness coming back from an injury, maybe even Tyler Shuck being injured and coming back for the final 4 games and running all over Ole Miss and sticking his shoulder in there even though he broke his collarbone twice. And then the Clint Ramsey Academic Effort Award. So there you go. Those awards will be given out tomorrow at halftime. The texter who sent in the saddest moment says, sorry, Rob, brighter days ahead. For sure, man, for sure. And hopefully this year. Mike Craven of Dave Campbell's Texas Football was in town yesterday talking to the Texas Tech football program. That magazine will be out, obviously, later in the summer, the Dave Campbell's Texas Football magazine, something I look forward to every single year. And an opportunity for Texas Tech going into the spring game, talking about spring to brag a little bit about their team. You're going to have, you know, Joey McGuire interview, a couple of players. I think you talked to Tony Bradford maybe. Obviously not trying to spoil the magazine. I know that they do a great, great job over there. And it really is, you know, growing up in Texas, you always got Dave Campbell's Texas football. But I generally, obviously, as a high school football player, or at least in tune to the high school football stuff, really focused on the high school football edge and enjoyed the high school football content, the lists of all the teams. You got to see where they're going to pick you in the district, the other districts around Lubbock, where they're going to get picked, so on, so forth. But they have done a really good job, I think, expanding the Texas footprint in the collegiate level. And their coverage of obviously Texas, Texas A&M, Texas Tech, TCU, Baylor, but also Texas State and Sam Houston and Rice. And I think there's 11 programs that they cover in the college football world. They also have the Republic of Football podcast feed, where they're still looking for a couple of representatives, but have a representative podcast from a lot of the teams in Texas. Obviously, I know that because I'm a part of it with the Gambling Gauchos. But they do a lot of great stuff. Really looking forward to what they get to talk about and what they get to put through. And it was interesting, you know, going through some of the conversations yesterday with Mike and what they've done and the places he's been and where he's been and who feels good and who doesn't feel good and that kind of stuff. Really, really cool to be able to dig into that. And I'm really looking forward to this next magazine that'll come out soon. All right, let's take another break. When we come back, a little deeper into the baseball series, a little deeper into the spring game, I've got some thoughts on what I want to see, how I want to see it, and maybe some tweaks and changes I'd like to see as well to a spring game. It's Rob Bro Show Talk 103.9 News, Money Sports.
Talk 103.9 and 1340.
Welcome back. This texter, I got Dave Campbell himself to sign a new issue years back, wrote to me to Texas Tech's biggest fan, Dave Campbell. I bought some back issues at a garage sale back as far as 1965. That is awesome. It's like 25 issues, paid about $20 for them. That is incredible. I do think, not think, I know I have some somewhere here at the station that I found in a big old pile of like several that have Texas Tech figures on the covers. Need to find those in the next week, if you know what I mean. Got to find them before some things break out. Texas Tech football this weekend, the spring game. Very excited for it. I'm that guy who's excited for every spring game. It's not something, you know, that's dependent on the team or what I think. I just really like going out there and watching football in April, even though it's, you know, a big nothing burger in the grand scheme of things. It doesn't count for anything. It's scrimmage based, though I do think that they'll play more actual football this year like they did last year. You know, sometimes it's 10 plays with the ones, 10 plays with the twos, 20 plays with the ones, 20 plays with the twos, and you're just kind of going back forth that way like a high school scrimmage, which there's nothing wrong with that inherently. It's basically the same thing. But I do like the football feel where you're trying to put some drives together and moving down the field and scoring a little bit. I do think you'll rotate The ones and twos, you'll have Tyler Shuck and then Baron Morton. And while we heard late this week that I think yesterday or the day before that, you know, it's totally a quarterback battle between Baron Morton and Tyler Shuck, and it's, you know, a heated rivalry. Tyler Shuck's the starting quarterback, and I think moving forward, especially early in the next year, it's Tyler Shuck's job to lose. And by the way, you'll also have Baron Morton starting games next year. That's just the nature of the beast in college football. I think three Big 12 teams? Two Big 12 teams? Well, now I'm trying to think. Maybe every Big 12 team last year started more than one quarterback. So this is not a commentary on Tyler Shuck. This is not anything to do with an injury history or I think he's brittle, whatever else. That has nothing to do with it. Every college, basically, lately, has started more than one quarterback due to health or whatever else. If you go back to 2016 with Patrick Mahomes, in a year he probably should have missed some games, that is the last time a Texas Tech quarterback started every single game. In 17, Nick Szymanek started 12 games, 11 games in a bowl game, and you had McLean Carter start the 12th game of the year, though Szymanek finished that game. You're running out of time, coach. Put me in. In 2018, you had Alan Bowman and Jet Duffy. In 2019, you had Alan Bowman and Jet Duffy. Henry Columbi. Alan Bowman in 2020. Jet Duffy, I think, too, probably. If he was still around, I don't remember, really. In 21, you had Shuck, Columbi, and Donovan Smith. In 2022, obviously, you had Shuck, Donovan Smith, and Baron Morton before Shuck started again. So the history of recent bias in Texas Tech, the history of recent bias in the state of Texas, the Big 12, Oklahoma State had multiple starters, Oklahoma had multiple starters, Texas had multiple starters, Baylor might have, I don't remember, Baylor might have had a new starter at the end of the year. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I didn't prepare for this. A&M had multiple starters outside the Big 12. Kansas State had multiple starters. Kansas had multiple starters. So you're really on solid footing there with Tyler Shuck and Baron Morton. And you want to get both of them reps. Obviously. And through the spring, I hope it is a tense competition with both of them getting starters reps. Because if you really, really put your mind to it, it's not hard to think that both quarterbacks will start this year. And again, that's not because Tyler Shuck has missed time the last 2 years. I thought he finished really strong last year. And if he would have had a titanium plate in his shoulder the first time he broke his collarbone, he might have started all the games last year and been on his way to the NFL. By the way, I've heard multiple times that over the last 2 years, when Tyler Shuck throws in front of important people, those important people are very impressed. We heard it last offseason that he has an absolute howitzer. And you saw it at times this year. He's really good at that deep ball, that 50-50 ball. And with Dre McCray, you might have more opportunities to see him throw a deep ball that's not a 50-50 ball. or with a healthy Duran Bradley who can get by some people, or a healthy Loic Fungi who can get by some people. The Texas Tech offense has an opportunity to jump really, really quickly from last year to this year. I think in large part that has to do with the offense, offensive line. The offensive line, I think, is going to be much better. And that's one thing I'm really going to be paying attention to in the spring game. The rotations, who's in the first group, who's in the second group. Now, obviously, you have some guys that will be playing in the fall that aren't playing in the spring. So you're going to have some young guys maybe playing up with the twos, or some guys probably not on the two deep playing with the ones and twos. But I'm very excited to see what this offensive line looks in year two, because it was absolutely brutal last spring. No offense. I think the coaches would say the same. But I was very worried coming out of the spring game about the offensive line and the issues you might have. And those issues reared their head early in the season. I think, obviously, they improved as the year went on. But that Houston game was one of the worst offensive line performances we've seen at Texas Tech in a long time. Now, they flipped the tackles. The center's playing guard. A guard that transferred in is playing guard this year that missed last year. You have a new center on campus. You have two guys that have been in this system for more than two seasons. Everybody else, this will be their second season in the system. So you really do feel good about that in respect to what you can do early in the season, and especially how you move forward. By the way, Oregon, depending on the steam they get, they were ranked highly in the FPI that came out earlier this week. They certainly, and I do mean certainly, could be in the mix for a strong, strong, strong top 15 ranking when they come to Lubbock and play Tyler Shuck, the former Oregon Duck, the second week of the season. And if Texas Tech gets some steam and some hype, and they just trounce Wyoming, you could see a really, really good premier spot early in the season for this Texas Tech team in Lubbock as part of a national broadcast. And I'm very, very excited for that, especially for the fans. If you get a night game or even a day game against Oregon that early in the year, that is going to be prime, prime action. And if you start 2-0, the Red Raiders have a chance to be in the top 25 early next year. A couple more bits on the spring game. I do like that they're going to, you know, have a stopped clock in the last 2 minutes of the first half, though the clock will not stop anymore on first downs, and I guess they'll reflect that in the spring game. But certainly reflecting that next year, as the rules committee has said that the college football rule since 1968 of stopping the clock after a first down will not be in the rules this year. They'll go to an NFL-style clock. I'm assuming it'll still stop on out-of-bounds calls late in the game or all game. I like that rule in college. I think it'll take getting a lot used to. You'll see more timeouts now that you can't just go down and stop the clock in a two-minute warning situation. I wonder if you will implement a two-minute warning in the next couple of years in college football, since you don't get that kind of free, quick stoppage in a first down situation. You'll see a lot more chaos at the end of games because you can't get down and clock it with 10 seconds left. If you get a long first down, you'll really have to hustle. Well-coached teams will be much better. That Baylor-TCU game would have been much, much different if the clock didn't stop after a first down. Baylor probably wins that game. Or you see TCU kick it earlier or do something different. But that's an interesting rule change to come out now after spring for most teams. You get the spring game for Texas Tech the day after the rule change. Obviously, the awards and then the red zone breakout section. I want to see the tight ends targeted. If I had to pick a first touchdown scorer, it would be Taj Brooks, Taj time, or as Texas Tech says, Brooks time, which I don't think is as good, but it's what he wants. It's not what I want. But with the offensive line improvement, I hope that Valdez also gets a couple of big runs. You want the defense to look competent, but if I chose offense or defense to look great this weekend, I would much prefer the offense look crisp, especially after how uncrisp it looked last spring. Now, that's 3 months on the job. Everybody's getting in the playbook for the first time. Now you have a full year, so it should look better. And then defensively, maybe a couple of big plays, but I really don't care if the offense hangs 50 on the defense. I trust the defense can get back into it in the fall. All right, let's take the final break. When we come back, some final thoughts on Texas Tech baseball and more. We'll even talk a little Texas Rangers and the Peagle. That's Eagle with the P. It's the Rob Bro Show. Talk 103.9 News Money Sports. Welcome back. It's Rob Bro Show, Talk 103.9 News, Money, Sports. Baseball this weekend, Texas Tech. We've talked about it all week. Now it's time to get the games in. Though Sunday, a little sketchy here with a little bit of rain in the forecast, though we know how rain in the forecast goes for Lubbock. It either dumps or doesn't. Generally, the clouds split right around when they get to Lubbock and then connect back together after Lubbock. So we'll see if rain affects the day on Sunday or you just get them all in and nothing matters. But if you're looking at Texas Tech, the RPI, in my opinion, and I know we talk about it all the time, but right now for Texas Tech, more importantly than RPI watching is just winning games. Because you're going to have a really, really interesting resume if you win out your Big 12 series. Especially if you sweep Baylor and Kansas at home, which is doable. If you win series in Morgantown and Manhattan and win the series or sweep Sam Houston too, you're going to be in a position where you win 15, 16 games to close out the year around a couple of losses. You're going to have a top 10 offense. You're going to have a bullpen that has really bounced back. Hopefully some starters that have emerged. And you're going to have an RPI that does not reflect what kind of team you are. And if the committee can pull their head from whatever dark corner it's in and not just look at the RPI like it's the Bible, you'll have an opportunity, if you win a bunch of games to close this year, to be in a good position. I'm not saying you'll host, but your RPI will not be in host range. Your resume beyond the RPI could be. Especially if you look at the Big 12, if you win the rest of your Big 12 series, you will be 7-1 in Big 12 series. And the sweep came on two walk-offs when you didn't have your premier bullpen arm because Oklahoma State cried. Now, all of this is dependent on winning the rest of your Big 12 series, which I think can be done. That West Virginia series is going to be tough. That Kansas State series is going to be tough. There is zero reason for you to lose a series against Baylor or Kansas. I'm not saying there's zero reason you shouldn't sweep. Those are two good teams. Well, there are two teams that play baseball. And in baseball, bad teams beat good teams all the time. Speaking of baseball, the Texas Rangers play against the Oakland Athletics, soon to be the Las Vegas Athletics. They'll start that series tonight. And they will be in their City Connect uniforms tonight. First pitch in that one for the 12-6 Rangers and the 3-16 Oakland Athletics. First pitch 7:05. This one in Arlington. J.P. Sears against John Gray tonight. Sears 0-1 with a 4.60 ERA, but a 1.09 whip. John Gray 1-1 with a 3.21 ERA and a 1.21 whip. Sears looks like he just doesn't get much offensive support, because that is a line that probably should be better than 0-1. Though he has given up 5 home runs. All right. That was the show. We'll have another show on Monday. We'll start with the Raiderland at 11 a.m. Recap everything that happened this weekend. I've been Rob Burrow. I'll be Rob Burrow. We'll see you then.
The views and opinions expressed by the participants on this Talk 1340 program are not necessarily the views of Talk 1340, its advertisers, staff, management, or Town Square Media.